You are listening to KBO FM 90.7 your FM dial. This is Talking Earth.
As I tossed and turned, unable to achieve sleep, unable to control anxiety, unable to comprehend why, Tupac is not with us. If those who lived by the sword died by the sword, there would be no white men on earth. If those who lived on hatred died on hatred, there would be no KKK. If those who lived by lies died by lies, there would be nobody on Wall Street, in executive suites, in academic offices instructing the young. Don't tell me he got what he deserved. He deserved a chariot and the accolades of a grateful people. He deserved his life. It is as clear as a mountain stream, as defining as a lightning strike, as terrifying as Sunday vampires. Tupac told the truth. There are those who wanted to call it dirty, gangster rap, inciting. There are those who never wanted to be angry at the conditions, but angry at the messenger who reported, your kitchen has roaches, your toilet is overflowing, your basement has so much water the rats are in the living room, your house is in disorder. And Tupac told you about it. What a beautiful boy. Graceful carriage, melodic voice, sharp wit, intellectual breath. What a beautiful boy to lose. Not me. Never me. I do not believe East Coast, West Coast. I saw them murder Emmett Till. I saw them murder Malcolm X. I saw them murder Martin Luther King. I witnessed them shooting Rap Brown. I saw them beat Leroy Jones. I saw them fill their jails. I see them burning churches, not me, never me. I do not believe this is some sort of mouth action. This is some sort of political action, and they picked well. They picked the brightest, freshest fruit from the tallest tree. What a beautiful boy. But he will not go away. As Malcolm did not go away, as Emmett Till did not go away, your shooting him will not take him from us. His spirit will fill our hearts. His courage will strengthen us for the challenge. His truth will straighten our backbones, you know. Socrates had a mother. She, too, watched her son drink hemlock. She, too, asked why. But Socrates stood firm and would not lie to save himself. Tupac has a mother. The lovely Afeni has to bury her son. It is not right. It is not right that this young warrior is cut down. It is not right for the old to bury the young. It is not right. This generation mourns Tupac, as my generation mourned Till, as we all mourn Malcolm, this wonderful young warrior. Sonia Sanchez said when she learned of his passing, she walked all day, walking the beautiful warrior home to our ancestors. I just cried, as all mothers cry for the beautiful boy who said he and Mike Tyson would never be allowed to be free at the same time, who told the truth about them and who told the truth about us, who is our beautiful warrior. There are those who wanted to make him the problem, who wanted to believe if they silenced Tupac, all would be quiet on the ghetto front. There are those who testified that the problem wasn't the conditions, but the people talking about them. They took away band, so the boys started scratching. They took away gym, so the boys started breakdancing. The boys started rapping because they gave them the guns and the drugs, but not the schools and the libraries. What a beautiful boy to lose. And we mourn Tupac Shakur, and we reach out to his mother, and we hug ourselves in sadness and in shame. And we are compelled to ask, are you happy, Miss Tucker? Tupac is gone. Are you happy?
Up there, though. Stop it. Hello.
Hey, Walt.
Talking Earth. Hi, Patrick Bouchard, my
regular voice person.
Trusted engineer. Gosh, that Nikki Giovanni thing is hot. Just pick it up, and what's the name of that? Is it Nikki? That she was young and really strong and vital, but tonight we're not going to do more of that. What the Talking Earth, September 9th, I guess it's September 9th. Is it September 9th? Help me.
It is September 9th.
Okay. But the deal is, I'm hoping Ray Burley will call in. But beyond that, I'm going to do some little Billie Holiday here, and I want to talk a little bit about, but you see, I like on the Talking or it to be spontaneous, to have different textures and things that happen, and we may interrupt some things. And I have asked Patrick Bouchard if there's some of the upcoming programming. Do you want to bring? Well, do you want to? You can do it later on. Do you want to do it now? Sophia and
Sophia and Amanda are having their, I mean, they're moving to Las Vegas, so they're having their last live show next Monday night. I fail to remember the guest.
Well, Monday night would be, today is the 9th. So
next Monday night, 16th.
The 16th, okay, yes.
Yeah, and but there will be several other shows that they're, I mean, they have like, we've recorded a bunch of shows, but they wanted to do their last show in town live, so it should be a lot of fun.
Well, you've been engineering for them, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, really, the Talking Earth, it's kind of a round robin, isn't it, a little bit?
Yeah, it is.
And there, I don't know who all the guests are. Barbara has come back, but she only does once a month, doesn't she?
Once every 2 months.
Once every 2 months. Okay.
You are every month, and Sophia and Amanda are once every 2 months.
Okay. Well, let's relax on that, and I want Patrick, you to chime in. I'm going to do some Jack Kerouac later, and I hope to God Ray Burley will call in at 10. We're at 9 now. Okay.
It's okay, Walt.
Oh, no. What I'm going to do is...
My voice is...
I'm going to do my tape thing here. You might have to adjust it here. I'm going to do this.
All right.
And keep me alive if you want.
Yeah.
I'm going to play. What did I say?
Record and play. I want the Talking Earth to have textures of voices and different content, yin-yang, and to be extemporaneous, to be actually at times absurd and confused, because I want surprises. So part of this, I am recording here on my old-fashioned tape recorder, and I love my engineer Patrick Bouchard, but some of this tonight's program, September 9th, will be it's going to be A bit elegiacs for Luciano, who passed away from cancer in Florida. Sabrina Guitart knew him. We all knew him. And actually, go to Sabrina Guitart, G-U-I-T-R-T. She has photos. And salmonpoet.com is on YouTube. And I don't want to talk about all that. What I want to talk about is out of my head. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as the manner of thy friends, or thine own were. For any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, humankind. Therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee, you and me. That was John Donne. It was the epigraph to Hemingway's great book, For Whom the Bell Tolls, about the Spanish Civil War. Okay, I hope that worked. Okay, I'm trying to make it work. I'm going to pause. as I said, I want this to be yin and yang. I'm going to play some Billie Holiday. Her voice is so haunting to me. And then Ray Burley, my friend, will call in at 10:15. And I'm going to do some Jack Kerouac. But let me see if I can pull up Billy. And this has it's a great record because all the side people on it. It's called Songs for Distant Gay Lovers, Billie Holiday. I'm going to skim it.
Out of town, where the people I knew, I had that feeling of self-pity. What to do? What to do? What to do? The outlook was decidedly blue. But as I walked through the foggy streets alone, it turned out to be the luckiest day I've known. Foggy day in London town had me low and had me down. I view the morning with such alarm. The British Museum had lost its charm. How long, I wondered, could this thing last? But the age of miracles had passed. For suddenly I saw you there, and through foggy London town the sun was shining everywhere.
That's a voice. That's a great voice, and this Songs for Famous Lovers, Distant Gay, Billie Holiday.
We lived our little drama. We kissed in a field of white, and stars fell on Alabama last night. I can't forget the glamour. Your eyes held a tender light, and stars fell on Alabama last night. I never planned in my imagination a situation so heavenly. A fairy land where no one else could enter, and in the center, just you and me, dear. My heart beat like a hammer, my arms wound around you tight, and stars fell on Alabama last night. Thank you.
We're still alive. We're still alive, aren't we, right? Patrick, just relax. This is not a music program. It's a poetry program. So I'm going to read a poem, and we'll see if Ray calls in. And then we'll go ahead with poetry, and we're going to bring on Jack Kerouac. But there are a couple. Her voice is so haunting to me, and I had never seen this record before. I got it out of the bins, the Goodwill bins. But anyway, let's say that the human voice, and I want you to respond. I don't know how you feel about the programming that you do, Patrick. Talk about that. I don't want to continue with that. But the human voice is what the spoken word is what this program is about. And you know, for me, it's political. Other people have their different take. I'm going to toss this right in the mix here. And I think I will talk about it because there's been so many global climate disruptions happening with Dorian and the devastation of the Bahamas, et cetera, et cetera. So a prayer to Gaia, goddess of Earth. Earth is a living being. We send our spirits out to you and thank you for our existence. We only live because of you. Mama Earth, save us. We poor, pitiful humans, know-nothings, fools, on a death-disastrous course. Bring us back to your life spirit. Amen, Gaia. Teach us how to revere and care for every rock, plant, mammal, and microbe. Nature's gift of the goddess, to save ourselves from oblivion. The end times are here and now. Is there any hope for the future of planet Earth? This is a prayer beseeching your power. A man and a woman. I wrote that on the 30th of June, 2016. Now, I called him back. I'm going to cue this forward, but why don't we put a little bit of which record here? We got, is that one live? Which ones are live?
Either one of them. Is that Black Orpheus or what's the
Black
other?
Black Orpheus. Do a little Black Orpheus, and I'll channel some of it. This is one of the greatest movies I've ever known. I think 1959, Black Orpheus, the story, the myth of Orpheus, who was a great musician, and he fell in love with Eurydice, and she died, and he went down into Hades, and Death said, "You play so well, I'll bring her back, but do not look back at me." And he looked, and this is from Brazil, the Carnival. Don't even think about. And João Gilberto is on this, who just passed away. So let's do a little touch of this, and I'll channel it. Maybe it'll be rough, but. Punch it again. Bad Walt.
Yes, Bad Walt. Bad Walt.
Not Patrick.
You're scratching in the studio.
No. What's happening here? Go ahead, dear. Well, we're on one.
Hang on.
This one, dear.
Cada cor brilhou, voltou o sonho então ao coração. Depois deste dia feliz, não sei se outro dia haverá. É nossa manhã tão bela, final manhã de carnaval. Canta o meu coração, a alegria voltou tão feliz amanhã desse amor.
Now, Patrick, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I'm gonna stop. Black Orpheus. You need to know about that film. But what I and Patrick, I want you to chime in here a little bit. Here, I don't know. I don't know if Ray's gonna come here. But on this is the September 4th. Willamette Week, and I call it Week WEAK. But on page 7. Joanne Hardesty, councilwoman, and she comes on KBOO every other week and at 8 a.m. just before Teresa Mitchell. And we probably have to close the darn door, don't we? Do we close the door? Okay. Anyway, Joanne... There's a great photo of her, and she just went after this rent thing. But Joanne Hardesty, wherever you are, you're true KBOO. And when is the pledge drive happening? Patrick, help us here.
The pledge drive starts next Monday.
Oh, next Monday. Okay.
September 16th.
I hope you would all go to KBOO.fm, and then you just what do we do? Then you don't. There's a web page there. You hit donate, and you can do $5 a month. So I want you to do it for the Talking Earth, and I don't. But you know, Joanne spent many years. The August 28 decision by the city council remarkable for several reasons. It's rare for the city to revoke a short-term rental permit, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but these people had a lot of problems. And Joanne is a force. I think she's going to be our mayor. She's wild, though. You really want to look at the photo of her. It's so beautiful with her dreadlocks and her. What do you think about Joanne? Just go ahead.
Well, I voted for her, and I'm pretty happy that she made it on the council.
Well, yeah, talk a little bit about how important KBOO has been for the culture of this city. KBOO.FM, donate, the pledge drive, go forward. We're going to be all right here, and I'm going to go back here, Patrick, just chime in a little more about why have you been so long on KBOO, and I don't think my friend's going to come in here, so, Ray, but it's all right, I don't care. Well, it's all right.
I started listening to KBOO when I first moved to Portland. And actually, I listened to the Pacifica station in New York, WBAI.
Well, tell us a little bit about radio, community radio station. What is a community radio station? Go ahead.
When it responds to the community itself, it doesn't just make decisions.
It's
based
not a commercial thing.
Interests. It doesn't... It's not trying to sell you something. It's trying to
empower the community.
That's a real great term.
And you know why Portland is such a special place and it's being overrun by many people? Because KBOO's had a 50-year history. I really want anyone listening to Patrick's voice and my voice and Barbara Lamorticella and Sophia and all these spoken word. There's no poetry spoken word thing in the United States. OPB does not do this, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, they do other things, and I'm not dissing that. What I would say is, though, that... it's been such a great honor. I'm talking like I'm a dead man, but I'm a ghost poet. But I'm not going to worry about that. But what I want to say is anyone can come down here. Anyone. So just donate, and the newcomer come here, just realize what a special place Portland is. Because of KBOO and the community, community radio stations change the social culture of the city that they live in. This is not programmed radio. This is crazy wild radio, and I want to get a little crazier and a little wild here. And let's hit the other button here and let's pick up some. I think it's Charlie Parker. I don't know. Let's see what happens. Charlie Parker. And we're going to go to Jack Kerouac in a little bit here.
It's gonna be a minute for Charlie Parker.
Okay. Well, so don't worry about it. But anyway, the point is...
It takes a little bit to take flight, you know.
Well, no. You know, but you know, we make up radio here, and it'll be all right. Maybe that disc, maybe that doesn't work. I don't know. Why wouldn't it work? Of course it'll work. Just push the button. It'll work. Push the button. What you don't understand, folks who are listening, this is real radio. It's done on the air. We come in here once a month or whatever, so we don't know how the board's set up, and so that's what we're doing.
It's jazz with turntables.
No. And then what do you have there? We're going. We're live now. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
And I want to talk with it. And we're going to go to some Jack Kerouac. His entire writing was done with... I call Jack Kerouac the James Joyce of American literature. A lot of people tried
to... That's high praise.
A lot of people denigrated him. Yeah, you respond.
I don't know if I see him that way. I mean, why do you think he's the James Joyce of American literature?
Because there's Charlie Parker. It's lovely. But he learned from this. We're going to play a couple cuts. But why I would say that is I have my book bag here. I have my book bag, Dharma Bums. I have in my book bag.
That's a pretty good book.
You're darn right. And I might even
it's
read
one, it. It's one of the few Jack Kerouac novels I've actually finished.
Well, I have Dharma Bums, but I also have. It's hard. We just keep it going.
I would probably compare Charlie Parker to James Joyce.
I wouldn't, because Charlie Parker wasn't using words. I like him.
But I would argue that he's probably as important, not to American literature, but to American music, as James Joyce is to Irish literature.
I think James Joyce was kind of a prig. He was very linguistic. He had enormous skills.
His great novel is the one that everyone gets upset about being too dirty.
What's that one?
Ulysses. Yeah, everyone.
It's not dirty at all. There's nothing dirty about it.
Yeah, but the FCC.
But they did it back then. You want to talk about dirty? I'll tell you about dirty, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, let's not do it now.
I mean.
But anyway, I interrupted you. You were going to talk about Dharma Bums.
No, you're not interrupting me. We're having a dialogue.
But you're going to talk about the Dharma Bums.
No, I'm going to talk about Lonesome Traveler. But what you don't understand about Jack Kerouac is, I'm going to talk about Jack Kerouac, and we're going to play a cut or two of him here. Because we want to hear his voice. He died at 47. He became a bad alcoholic. But you know, people like a little creep, celebrity faggot, Truman Capote, said, "Oh, that's not writing. That's typewriting." And then Gore Vidal claimed that he had, I thought it was vulgar of Gore Vidal. I like his politics, but I thought it was very ugly to talk about having anal sex with Kerouac when he was drunk. And really, it's just trash talk. Kerouac is so great, and I'm going to show us the voice here. I think we're going to end kind of like with this. But
well, far be it from me to defend Gore Vidal in terms of his...
I don't care. I don't want everything about
him. He tended to insult whoever. You know, he just thought he was awesome and insulted everyone else.
His sexual values were very crude. Kiss, screw, and tell all. I mean, it's creepy. Creepy.
But anyway, to get back to let's get to Jack Kerouac.
That's where we're going. We have 25 minutes.
Yeah, we have 24 minutes. It's later than you think. So what I want to know?
It's not later than I think.
It is late. You said 25 minutes. It is later than you think.
There's nothing later than I think, because when I think, I think, and so do you. Thinking is magic.
How is Jack Kerouac the James Joyce of American letters?
Of the American language. The American language. Lonesome Traveler is a book. There's Tristessa. There's Dr. Sachs. This is what Ginsberg said. Jack Kerouac, new Buddha of American prose who spit forth intelligence. But this is the point. Creating a spontaneous bop prosody and original classic literature. In other words, Jack loved jazz. On the Road, Dr. Sachs, Dharma Bums, Subterraneums, Mexico City Blues. The reason I brought Charlie Parker in here.
Yeah.
So let's hit some Jack Kerouac here, and we're going to just scat that on the tape here. You got the tape in there? The tape in here?
I have the CD in there. What are we...
Just started out in San Francisco. Sam, and I'll tell you about the entire beat history. I smoked a joint with Neil Cassidy and back in 1961. We can override the... We'll keep the... Go ahead. Let just
keep Charlie on there. All right.
San Francisco.
You're a muttering. This is a great voice. I'm going to tell you why he's so great.
Can't make a woman on a rainy corner.
Turn it up a little bit. Yeah. These are haiku. San Francisco.
Broken plastic coverlets flapping in the rain to cover newspapers all printed up.
Now hear that voice. That's the voice. I told you there's a voice program.
Guys with big pockets and heavy top coats and slit scar, headbands down.
That voice was
hair,
perfect.
All Bruce Barton combed, stand surveying Harrison, Folsom and the ramp, and the red brick clock. Wishing they had a woman with some money, honey.
It's the voice.
Westinghouse elevators are full of pretty girls with classy cans and cute pans and long slim legs and eyes for the boss at a quarter of four. Old age is an Indian with gray hair and a cane in an old coat, tapping along the rainy street to see the pretty oranges and the stores on his big day when the dogs let out. Praised be man, he is existing in milk and living in lilies, and his violin music takes place in milk and creamy emptiness. Praised be the unfolded inside petal flesh of tenderest thought. Petrels on the follying wave valleys idly sing themselves asleep. Praised be delusion, the ripple. Praised be the holy ocean of eternity. Praised be I, writing, dead already and dead again. Dipped in ancid inkle, the flammed of Tim, the Anglo-Oglo-Saxon maneuvers of old poetos. Praised be wood, it is milk. Praised be honey at the source. Praised be the embrace of soft sleep, the valor of angels and valleys of hell on earth below. Praised be the non-ending. Praised be the lights of earth, man. Praised be the watchers. Praised be my fellow man for dwelling in milk.
Let him continue.
And you know, in the ocean, there's a very sad turtle. Even though the SS mainline fishing ship is reeling in the Merritt like mad.
A sad turtle.
Swims long-mouthed and sad, looking for the impossible except once afternoon when the yoke, oh, the old Buddha yoke, set afloatin', is in the water where the turtle raises his bewatery snop to the sea, and the yoke yokes the turtle of eternity. Tell me, oh bhikkhus, what are the chances of such a happening? For the turtle is old and the yoke free, and the seven oceans bigger than any we see in this tiny party. Chances are slender. In a million, million, billion coties of eons and incalculables, yes, the turtle will set that yoke free. But till then, harder yet are the chances for a man to be reborn a man in this karma earth.
Yeah, Kerouac was a Buddhist. Keep going. Leave it going. Let him talk. Let him talk. I like it. Keep going. Keep him going. It's all right.
Friday afternoon in the universe, in all
here.
Directions, in and
here.
Out. You got
here.
Your men, women, dogs, children, horses, pones, ticks, perts, parts, pans, pools, paws, pails, parturiences, and petty thieveries that turn into heavenly Buddha. I know, boy, what's I talking about, because I made the world, and when I made it, I no lie had a Lucian Midnight for my name and concocted up a world so nothing you had forever thereafter make believe it's real. But that's all right, because now everything will be all right, and we'll soothe the forever boys and girls, and before we're through, we'll find a name
now
for this darn golden
party.
Eternity and tell a story,
golden
too.
Eternity.
And, but you ever read a story as vast as this that begins Friday afternoon with working men on scaffolds painting white paint, and ants murling in little black dens, and microbes warring in your kidney, and Messerulis microbing in the innards of Mercury, and microbes dreaming of the ultimate microbehood, which then ultimates outward to the endless, vast, empty atom, which is this imaginary universe, ending nowhere, never even born, as Bankei well polled when he ferried his mother over the rocks to Twat UT, and people visit his hut to inquire, what other planet features this? And he answers, what other planet? Though the sounds of the entire world are now swimming through this window from Mrs. McCardiola's Twando and old Polk's home drunk again, and of course you hear the cats wailing in the whale bar, wild bar, wart fence, moonlight, midnight, Lucian, Dolophine, immensity, visions of the Tathagata, seat of purity and womb. And so that here is all this infinite immaterial, meadow-like golden ash, swim swarming in our enlightened brains, and the silence shifallying in our endless ear, and still we refuse, naked and blank, to hear what the who? The who? To what you? We'll say the diamond boat and persipine, recipine, milltown, heroine, and fac matches the silver ages everlasting, swarm swallowing in a simple broom. And at night you raise the square white light from your ghost beneath the root-drinking tree, and coyote won't hear you, but you'll ward off the inexistent sea devils just to pass the time away. And meanwhile, it's timeless to the ends of the last light year. It might as well be getting late Friday afternoon where we start, so's old sound can come home when work's are done and drink his beer and tweak his children's eyes.
Patrick, just let it go. Just keep it going.
Oh, he was quite racy. Real estate queen, Europe and Niles. For
pleasure. I don't like this one. Pick,
stomp,
hit
stomp,
the next
absolute
one.
Rays making
hit
noise.
Hit the next button.
I can write about them, but I can't punctuate
this is
them.
A jazz thing.
Then he said,
"Jazz, yeah, it's all right. Not too far. Just what happening? It's all right." Jack Kerouac. The
Bop began with jazz.
Here, this is a great one.
But one afternoon somewhere on
here,
a sidewalk, maybe 1939, 1940,
we'll turn him up in a minute.
Dizzy Gillespie or Charlie Parker or Thelonious Monk was walking down past a men's clothing store on 42nd Street of South Main in L.A., and from the loudspeaker they suddenly heard a wild, impossible mistake in jazz.
This is really loud. You make
it could
it
only
work.
Have been heard inside their own imaginary head.
This
and
is Jack Kerouac.
Bop. The name derives from an accident. America was named after an Italian explorer, not after an Indian king. Lionel Hampton had made a record called Hey Bobba Rebop, and everybody yelled it, and it was when Lionel would jump in the audience and wail his saxophone at everybody with sweat claps, jumping fools in the aisles, the drummer vastly booming and belaboring on the stage as the whole theater rocked. Sung by Helen Humes, it was a popular record and sold many copies around 1945 or 46. First everyone looked around, then it happened. Bop happened. The bird flew in. Minds went in.
This is a great cut here, Patrick.
On the streets, thousands of new type hep cats in red shirts and some goatees and strange queer-looking cowboys from the West with boots and belts. And the girls began to disappear from the street somehow. You no longer saw, as in the 30s, the Wrangler walking with his doll in the honky-tonk. Now he was alone. Rebop, bop, came into being because the girls were leaving the guys and going off to be middle-class models or something. And Dizzy or Charlie or Thelonious was walking down the street, heard a noise, a sound, half Lester Young, half raw rainy fog,
Parker up.
That has that chest shivering excitement of shack,
same time,
or track,
Parker,
or empty lot, the sudden vast tiger head on the wood fence, rainy no school Saturday morning dump yards, hey, and rushed off dancing. On the piano that night, Thelonious introduced the wooden off-key note, everybody's warm-up notes. Minton's Playhouse, evening starts, jam hours later, 10 p.m., colored bar and hotel next door. One or two white visitors, some from Columbia, some from nowhere, some from ships, some from Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, some from Europe. The strange note makes the trumpeter of the band lift an eyebrow. Dizzy is surprised for the first time that day. He puts the trumpet to lips and blows a wet blur. Hee-hee-ha! Laughs Charlie Parker, bending down to slap his ankle. He puts his alto to his mouth and says, didn't I tell you? With jazz of notes. Talking eloquent like great poets of foreign languages, singing in foreign countries with lyres by seas. And no one understands because the language isn't alive in the land yet. Bop is the language from America's inevitable Africa. Going is sounded like gong. Africa is the name of the flu and kick beat off to one side. The sudden squeak uninhibited that screams muffled at any moment from Dizzy Gillespie's trumpet. Do anything you want. Drawing the tune aside along another improvisation bridge with a reach-out tear of claws, like, why be subtle and false? The band of 10 p.m. Mintons swings into action. Bird Parker, who is only 18 years old, has a crew cut of Africa, looks impossible, has perfect eyes and composures of a king when suddenly you stop and look at him in the subway, and you can't believe that bop is here to stay. Or modern music, call it what you will, that it is real, and that Negroes in America are just like us. We must look at them understanding the exact racial counterpart of what the man is, and figure it with histories and lost kings of immemorial tribes and jungle and fellaheen town, and otherwise, and the sad mutts sleeping on old porches in Big Edinburgh woods, where just 90 years ago, old Roost come running calling Maw through the fence. He'd just deserted the Confederate Army and was running home for Pone, and flies on watermelon porches, and educated judges in horn-rimmed glasses reading the Amsterdam News. And the band realized the goof of life that had made them be not only misplaced in the white nation, but misnoticed for what they really were. And the goof they felt stirring and springing in their bellies, suddenly dizzy, spats his lips tight drummed together and drives a high screeching fantastic clear note that has everybody in the joint look up. And Bird, lips hanging dully to hear, is turning slowly in a circle, waiting for Diz to swim through the wave of the tune in a toneless, complicated wave of his own, grim like factories, and atonal at any minute, and the logic of the mad. The sock in his belly is sweet, the rock, zonga, monga, bang. In white creamed afternoons of blue, Bird had leaned back dreamily in eternity as Dizzy outlined to him the importance of becoming Muslims in order to give a solid basis of race to their ceremony. Make that rug swing, mother. When you say race, bow your head and close your eyes. Give them a religion, no Uncle Tom Baptist. Make them wearers of skull caps of respectable minarets in actual New York, picking hashish dates from their teeth. Give them new names with zonga sounds. Make it weird. Thelonious, he was so weird, he wandered the twilight streets of Harlem in winter with no hat on his hair, sweating, blowing fog. In his head he heard it all ringing. Often he heard whole choruses by Lester, or Bird, or Dizzy, or Bags. There was a strange English kid hanging around Mittens who stumbled along the sidewalk hearing Lester in his head. Hours of hundreds of developing choruses in regular beat all day, so in the subway no dissonance could crash against unalterable choruses and implacable bars erected in mind's foundation jazz. Now the tune they were playing was All the Things You Are. They slowed it down and dragged behind it a half-tempo dinosaur proportions, changed the placing of the note in the middle of the harmony to an outer, more precarious position, where also its sense of not belonging was enhanced by the general atonality produced with everyone exteriorizing the tune's harmony. The clonk of the millennial piano like anvils in Petrograd.
Padre, Blow, just hear Dez. How he handled
Charlie
that
Parker came
exchange
into
droids.
The solo with a squeaky, innocent cry. Monk punched, anguished nub fingers crawling at the keyboard to tear up foundations and guts of jazz from the big master box. To make Charlie Parker hear his cry and sigh. To jar the orchestra into vibrations, to elicit gloom from the doom of the black piano. He stared down wild-eyed at his keys like a matador at the bull's head. Groan, drunken figures shaded in the weaving background, tottering. The boys didn't care, because on cold corners they stood, three backs to one another, facing all the winds, bent, lips don't care, miserable, cold, and broke, waiting like witch doctors, saying, everything belongs to me because I am poor. Like 12th century monks high in winter belfries of the Gothic organ, they wild-eyed were listening to their own wild sound, which was heralding a new age of music that would eventually require symphonies, schools, centuries of technique, declines and falls of master ripe styles, the Dixieland of Louis Armstrong, 16, in New Orleans, and the Big Pop's forest, Jim in the white shirt wailing at a big scarred bass in raunchy, nongry New Orleans, on South Rampart Street, famous for parades, and old Perdido Street. All that was mud in the river Mississippi, pasts of 1910 gold rings, derby hats of workers. Soon enough it would leap and fill the gay 20s like champagne in a glass, pop, and crawl up to the 30s with tired, rooty valleys lamenting what Louis had laughed in a 20s transoceanic jazz. Sick and tired early Ethel Merman's and old beat bedsprings creaking in that stormy weather blues when people lay in bed all day and moaned and had it good. The world of the United States was tired of being poor and low and gloomy in a line. Swing erupted as the Depression began to crack. It was the year marijuana was made illegal, 1937. Young teenagers took to the first restraint, the second, the third, some still wandered on hobo trains. Lost boys of the 30s numbered in the hundreds of thousands. Salvation armies put up full houses every night, and some were 10 years old. Teenagers, alienated from their parents who have suddenly returned to work and for good to get rid of that damn old mud of the river and tear the rose vine off the porch and paint the porch white and cut the trees down and castrate the hedges, burn the leaves, build a wire fence, get up an antenna, listen. The alienated teenager in the 20th century, finally ripe, gone wild, modern, to be rich and prosperous, no more, just around the corner, became the hepcat, the jitterbug, and smoked the new law weed. World War II gave everybody two pats of butter in the morning on a service tray, including your sister. Up from tired, degrading swing, wondering what had happened between 37 and 45, and because the army'd worked it, canned it, played it to the boys of North Africa, enraged it into Piccadilly bars, and the Andrews sisters put the corn on the can, swing with its heroes died. And Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie, and Thelonious Monk, who were hustled through the chow lines, came back remembering old goofs, and tried it again, and zop! Dizzy screamed, Charlie squealed, Monk crashed, the drummer kicked, the bass question mark plunked, and off they wailed on salt peanuts, jumping like mad monkeys in the gray new air. Hey, pork pie, pork pie, hey, pork pie. Skiddly, stoop, saltia, saltia. They came to their own, they jumped, they had jazz and took it in their hands and saw its history, vicissitudes, and developments, and turned it to their weighty use and heavily carried it clanking like posts across the enormity of a new world philosophy, and a new strange and crazy grace came over them. Fell Jack from the Kerouac. Air free. They saw pity in the whole of heaven, hell in their hearts. Billie Holiday had rocks in her heart. Lester Droopy Pork Pied hung his horn and blew bop lazy ideas inside jazz that everybody dreaming. Miles Davis leaning against the piano, fingering his trumpet with a cigarette hand working, making raw iron sound like wood speaking in long sentences like Marcel Proust. Hey, Jim. And the stud comes swinging down the street and says he's real bent and he is down and he has a twisted face. He works, he wails, he bops, he bangs. This man who was sent, stoned and stabbed, is now down, bent, and stretched out. He is home at last. His music is here to stay. His history has washed over us. His imperialistic kingdoms are coming.
That's a great history of jazz. So keep it going. We'll do it. I want to say that is the most incredible thing that I've ever heard in my life, almost. That's why I say Kerouac is like beyond James Joyce. Screw James Joyce. Irish Catholic pig. Here, we'll try that again. We'll put it on minor. What do you want here? No, here, I'll do this. But let's do a little more of that. We have 4 minutes. Here. Here, let's see what I got here, and I don't know what I got here.
I'm 78 years old.
I didn't know what day.
She died of a heroin overdose.
Like the month of May was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone, grand to see your face, feel your touch, hear your voice. Say I'm all your own. I didn't know what year it was. Life was no prize. I wanted love, and here it was, shining out of your eyes. I'm wise, and I know what time it is now.
Mm-hmm.
This is called Songs for, it's a Verve record, Norman Grant's Songs for Disengay means distinguished or famous lovers, Billie Holiday. I have never, this is one of the greatest records I've ever heard. That's why I'm doing this. I want a woman's voice on the damn program. I love all of you, and I want this to be extemporaneous, and I'm going to stop right now, okay? And we'll continue with Ray Burley.
Actually, I want to continue end here, and well, Patrick, it's not an argument. James Joyce or Jack Kerouac.
We'll continue to next month.
I'm saying it's Jack Kerouac, but actually I want to mention something. We only have a couple minutes left.
1 minute.
And I want to say that Sunday, September 22nd, is coming up. Well, it's 2 weeks from yesterday, and we're going to Mary Hill. If you've ever been there, we're going to have a poetry picnic up there, and then we'll go over to Stonehenge. But I know it sounds like a weird long drive, 110 miles to Mary Hill, but if you've never been to Mary Hill, and if you've never been to Stonehenge, and every year poet David Hedges and other of us do that, tell your friends, just carpool and just go up there and have a picnic and then go over Mary Hill. You just cross at the Dells Bridge. And so, Patrick, you've been very comfortable with me. Thank you very much. And actually, the Talking Earth, and